Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We're going to jump into our teaching series with what might sound like a little bit of a heavy-hitting question, but I wonder, have you ever made, you don't have to raise your hand, that's the exhale of this moment, okay? Have you ever made a big mistake? I'm going to keep going. A mistake is an action or judgment that is misguided or wrong. Typically, a mistake we look back upon or we recognize at some point, hopefully, that that wasn't our finest moment. Have you ever been there? I certainly have, and you do not need to amen that. And I was there recently, as a matter of fact. Let me explain. A couple weeks ago, I got sucked into following a story that was circling the internet. I kept seeing the pictures, and then after a news story come the memes, right? Y'all know what a meme is. Yeah, like where we're kind of satire comedy about something real that happened. But anyway, the memes come along, and then finally, I caved in. I caved in and clicked on the story. And can we just all say right now and know together that once you click, there's no turning back? Okay, your algorithm's got you at that point. You are committed. But that wasn't my mistake. That wasn't my mistake. The story I clicked into was that of Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot. Andy and Kristen were out together enjoying an evening at a music concert, specifically from the band Coldplay. Part of the tradition of this particular concert, this particular band, is they did do what's called the kiss cam. Y'all have seen this at sporting events and all different things where the camera will look around for couples, and when it lands on them, they're supposed to display their affection for one another. Y'all with me? Okay. Well, as fate would have it, this camera, this shot, lands on Andy and Kristen that evening, and this picture shows up on the Jumbotron for everyone to see. What happened next is what landed them in my social media feed and probably yours too. You see, Kristen's eyes grow wide, her jaw drops, and she immediately turns away from the camera. Andy, like most guys, is a little slow to realize what's going on, but as soon as he does, he follows her suit and hides from the camera. Now, this is all on the big screen. And to make matters worse, the front man of the band sees all this, and he says to the whole world, they're either having an affair or they're very shy. Well, that comment sent the internet into orbit. It turns out the moment that was caught on the Jumbotron was a big mistake. An action or a judgment that was misguided or wrong. You see, Andy and Kristen were involved in an inappropriate relationship. They were having an affair. And I guess that's what explains the internet's response. The internet was circulating this story so fast because we as a culture love a good story about a big mistake so long as it's not our own. We love a good story about a big mistake as long as it's not ours. I confess to you this morning that while I did not click a share button for this story, I did share in some of the feelings that other people and maybe even you had about it. Feelings like, well, it's kind of what you get. You mess around and you find out. Maybe even you deserve it. And my brain is weird, you know that. That opens the door to find humor in all the memes and the stories. There was even a fishing company that put a crawfish lure in his hand. Like, it was bananas. None of which is a good response. none of which. I realized my big mistake one morning as I'm reflecting on this story. A question came into my mind too loud and too clear to ignore. That question was this: what if your sin was on the Jumbotron for everyone to see? Would it be funny then? What if the stupidest thing you've done, Jared, was out on the internet for everybody to see? Would you still be laughing at the memes and think it was funny? Would you think you deserve it? No, Lord, I wouldn't. I don't want that. Because the reality is, I've done plenty of things that I'm glad are not on a Jumbotron. You see, when I saw their mistake all over the internet, I forgot all about my own. My own sin, my own failure, my own regret. I forgot all about the grace that God has given me. And friends, that's a big mistake. Ephesians 2 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich, he's wealthy in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I wonder today, have you ever made the same mistake that I did? You see, we live in a culture that is so quick to criticize and condemn and cancel and cut off. Have you ever forgotten about grace? Maybe you're on the other side of the coin this morning. Perhaps you're in a place where you've made the big mistake. And maybe, by the grace of God, it's not on the Jumbotron today, but you know it. And maybe there's a voice in your head telling you it's over. That it's too bad. You can't come clean about that. Friend, don't forget about God's grace. We're starting a new teaching series today called Grace is Greater. Grace is Greater. This series is keying from a book by the same name or same title, and it's written by pastor and author Kyle Eidelman. Throughout this series, we want to be reminded of God's grace in our lives. We're going to try to understand his grace, look at it, study it, and understand it to see that his grace is greater than our sin, any brokenness, any failure or regret that might be in your life or mine. That God's grace is greater, and it's greater for people all around us too. God's grace is greater. We want to understand that it's greater than any sin and brokenness and failure. We want to not just know about it and study it, but to experience it. Because friends, grace makes a great study, and it's a worthy study of our time. But friends, if we only study and not experience, we've missed it. We've missed it. We want to experience God's grace, and we certainly don't ever want to forget it. We don't want to make that mistake. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. We've been singing about it. And Lord, we're going to dive in deeper today. Grace. Lord, your grace has been at work already. Your kindness and love for us. So Lord, as we dive into the scriptures today, that same spirit that was inspiring and guiding Paul to pen these words to Ephesus, Lord, that same spirit is here today. And so, Holy Spirit, come and apply this truth to our hearts and our lives. Lord, yes, we want to understand grace, but oh, so much more. We want to experience it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our series begins today with a specific look at grace. A specific type of grace, if you will. This is prevenient grace. Literally, this is the grace of God that goes first, that makes the first move in your life and in mind. Our teaching text today is Ephesians 2. If you have your copy of Scripture, we'll be there. It's on the screen. It's in a YouVersion event if you want to follow along on your phone. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 1, says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Verse 3 says, "All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." If we want to be people who take the Bible seriously, if we want to be people who hold the Scriptures in authority, we not only need to hold the scriptural authority of who it tells us God is and about Him, we also must then hold it in authority when it talks about us. When we read hard texts like Ephesians 2. You see, in this text, the Apostle Paul is describing the condition of every single person apart from God's grace. And sometimes it's hard to hear. Because he says something so dramatic that, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And I think sometimes there's a tendency to roll up to a text like this and go, "Man, I hope that person over there hears this. They were dead." It's like, no, friends. That "you" in there is pretty specific. We try to sidestep it. He says, "As for you," he's talking about our condition, mine and yours, apart from the grace of God. And he says, "You were dead in transgression and sin." And what he's talking about here, now clearly we would have had physical breath and life, but that's not the issue. When Paul says in Ephesians 2 that you were dead in transgression and sin, he's talking about the truest essence of who we are as human beings created in God's image. That truest essence, our spirit, our soul, our attentiveness to him was dead. It was dead. That we, in that state, are not aware of the things of God. We're not aware of right and wrong. We're not aware of his love for us. And most importantly, we are unable to do anything about it. That's the state of each one of us apart from God's grace. We believe this. This shows up theologically. If you want to trace it back, it shows up in Genesis. Why are we dead? It's because of the fall, Genesis 3. And we all live into that sin-dead state apart from God's grace. And look, this is a hard theological concept to explain, but even harder than that is to try to deny it. Because you can go back and hang out with the littlest and most innocent of us as human beings, and you will see them fight over a toy. It's hard to explain. It's even harder to deny. It's real. And nobody teaches them. It's just true. Friends, this walking dead state that Paul is talking about here, he's trying to paint the picture for us. He wants us to understand it and see it. He says, he points out two enemies in this text, if you will, two forces that are driving and dominating us in this state. And one enemy is external, the devil, the enemy himself. In our state, apart from grace, we naturally, it's all we know to do is follow along with his lead. We follow along with the ways of the world, ways of greed and lust and bitterness, self-indulgence and self-service without regard for others. That's the first enemy. The second enemy is us, the enemy within. The desires, the cravings, the ideas, whatever we want rules, whatever feels good is good. I get to declare my own truth. That's the internal enemy, the flesh. And friends, this is the picture of life apart from God's grace. It's the picture of death that the scripture says results in God's wrath. In the scripture, it says we, not them on our social media feed, not them over there anywhere, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath or his anger. And friends, when we read about God's wrath and anger here, we need to understand this is not vindictive. This is not you or I's response to being wronged. This is a holy God's response. It's not vindictive or arbitrary. It's not revengeful. It's not. God's wrath or his anger is an expression of his holiness and righteousness and, yes, his love. It is not in conflict with his love. You see, God hates sin because he knows what it does to you and I. He knows what it does or has done to his son. He hates sin and it deserves his anger. And to take one step further, to put it all together, we deserve his anger. And friends, this grim reality, this bleak painting that the Apostle Paul has painted for us is the reality of your life and mine apart from the grace of God. Dead to the ways of the world, to his love, a prisoner of our own selfish desires, motivated and empowered to fulfill them by the spirit of evil, and completely helpless to do anything about it. Friends, this is your story and it's mine. And if this was the end of the story, it would be really dark. But two words. But God. Let's continue verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Perhaps no two words contain more hope for us today, but God. But God. God was motivated by his love for us. Out of the wealth and abundance of his mercy, he made the first move to call us back to life. Friends, that's prevenient grace. God making the first move in our lives. His first move in grace is to make us spiritually alive, to make us aware of right and wrong. Have you ever had a guilty conscience? Man, that's grace. It doesn't feel like it, but that's grace. That weight of knowing right and wrong, to be aware of spiritual things. Friends, what we see in this reality, this awakening, is that God's grace is greater than death, and it brings life. It empowers us to choose him, to seek him. Every single step, every single action we make towards God is motivated and empowered by grace. That you would ever realize that something is good for you or not good for you is grace. That someone would invite you to church and you say yes, friends, that's grace. It's because God loves you and is moving ahead of you and he's inviting you, that you would have a concept of God, that something greater must exist than what we know in this world is grace. It's because God's love is on the move in your life and he's breathing life and inviting you to know him, that we would come to any awareness of sin and the death that is within us and ask the Lord to forgiveness. As Paul says, it's all grace. It's not because we're smart, handsome, and good-looking, or even lucky. It's not because we're a good person. We were dead. It's because God has made the first move. That's grace. It's all grace. It's all him. As we read this and look at the context, it's important to understand, as we're following along with Paul's thought, that he's writing to believers. And so what you see in this text as you study and you reflect in it, he's marking out the grace journey. The grace journey for people who have responded to God's grace. You see, that's an important note to make, because we believe that God's grace is universal. In that, what we mean is that God's prevenient grace is going ahead of every person, alive and in quickening their conscience, making them aware and able to choose and know more of him. That's universal in its extent, but it's also resistible. It's resistible. So it's available to everyone, but not everyone says yes. Not everyone follows the lead of God's grace in their life. You see, we can say no, we can ignore, we can frustrate to our ultimate despair God's grace. We can continue to choose to live in sin, to choose death. What we see and what we focus in on today is this prevenient grace that, yes, is universal, but it's resistible. God has made the first move. Will you respond? Will you respond? You see, God makes it possible for us to say yes. And friends, this is not like a literary technique. It's not a pastor's fancy point today. But I can say without a shadow of a doubt this morning that without God's grace, that if God wasn't at work in your story this morning, you and I would not be here today. I don't know how you got here today, but I do. Because without God's love and his kindness poured out on us, we wouldn't be here. We'd be fishing. Something else. So today, I look in your faces the best I can in these lights this morning, and I see stories of grace. That God is on the move in your life. That you have responded. And so I'm looking at you saying, what does God's grace want to do in your life today? You followed him and said yes this far. What about now? How will you respond to his grace today? How will you respond? Let's finish up the text in verse 8. It says there, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Grace is a gift. Not by works, not by trying harder, not by being a good person, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That we respond in faith, that's grace. When we're saved, that's also grace. When we live into God's plan for our life, guess what? That's grace too. And you're like, okay, Pastor, we got it. Do you? Do you? It's grace. Our salvation, our life in Christ is not from trying harder in good works. It's not about being a nice person. It comes as a gift of grace. There's no bragging about it. There's only rejoicing and giving thanks for what God's done. Friends, you today are living proof that the God of the universe loves you, sees you, and has been at work in your life. Don't miss that today. Don't miss that today. The next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to explore God's grace. This book is on Amazon. The cover looks very familiar to this. If you want to buy it, I'd invite you to. It's great. But follow along with us. Be challenged in that study. But we're going to continue the next couple weeks. We want to specifically see, we're going to study and dive into God's grace to see that it is greater than any sin or brokenness or regret or wounds that might be in our life. We want to challenge the lie of the enemy that is whispering, saying, this message isn't for you. God's grace is not for you. You've messed up too much. It's too big. It's too shameful. What if everybody else around you found out? Man, we want to hit that lie head on. Because God's grace is greater. Then whatever that enemy's whispering in your ear today, God's grace is greater. Will you respond? That's going to be our journey the next couple weeks. And you say, well, Pastor, as we wrestle with prevenient grace, like we started there because that's the beginning of our journey. That's the beginning of life. And so it just starts that we would begin at that point of mercy. And you say, Pastor, what does that look like? Put some real handles on this thing for me today. What do I look for? Because you're, like I said, you're here. You're on a journey of grace. You should be able to look back and track it. Put points in your story that, wow, God was moving there. You say, what does that look like? Well, I can just share my story. For me, prevenient grace showed up like this, of all places. You're thinking, wow, it takes a lot of grace to listen to that old stuff. Maybe it does. But you see, grace showed up for me in the cab of a Ford Ranger riding around the mountains, hunting and fishing and occasionally to Hardee's, because this was on the radio with my grandfather. And I didn't have but one set of grandparents that loved the Lord and poured into me. I had two sets of grandparents that loved and poured into me, and Granny sitting right back there. I didn't have a choice in that. I did nothing to deserve that. That was grace. Friends, we had a neighbor a little bit later. We had a neighbor. He's larger than life. His name is Gary Allman. He lived right behind us. He kept on inviting us to church when we weren't going. And friends, it was that invitation that landed us and connected us with the Church of the Nazarene. It was that invitation and that grace of God that changed our entire family story. It was grace. It was grace. Years later, when I was not living for the Lord, I was on the run, prevenient grace continued to show up in my life through a lady named Lynn Cook. She was here first service. You ought to catch up with her sometime. When me and my buddies would come into church, sit on the back row, it's where all the good seats are, we sat on the back row, and Miss Lynn would make it a point every single time we showed up. She would come back and engage with us and ask us about our life, and she never once condemned us, never once drug us out on the carpet. She simply loved us. And so, yes, friends, God's grace showed up through me through the arms of a lady named Lynn Cook when she would just hug me and say, "It's nice to see you." That's why it's important to be. That's another message. I'd been on the run for several years. You see, I thought that the things of the world offered more life, more fulfillment, and so I pursued them. But there came a season where somehow, I can't explain it to you, but I can. On my own, I cannot explain it. Somehow, all the things I thought that would bring life and fulfillment, all the things I thought were fun, I somehow found myself going, man, none of this stuff provides what it promised. All the partying, the runaround, the success, none of that provides what it actually promises. How do we ever come to know that? Grace. Because we live in a world that says, this is the best stuff there is. Grace says, friends, there's nothing there. That's grace. A gift we don't deserve, we're invited to respond to. That's grace. Maybe it showed up for you. You've always had a heavy conscience about stuff. When you were pressing the limits, you just felt this weight, like, why is somebody nagging me about this? Because somebody loves you. And His grace has quickened your conscience. Maybe it was somebody, grace come into your life and led you to understand that this relationship is not leading you somewhere healthy. Maybe it was something bad that happened and God's grace came in and allowed you to see it in a whole new perspective, that He spared you from something much worse. That's grace. And friends, I would invite you today, you have a grace story. You have a grace story. You have moments and people and stories where God's grace has shown up in your life. And I would invite you to track that journey this week. Think about it now. Where has God's love shown up for you? And as you take that journey this week in your mind, don't forget to say thank you. Because, friends, it's all a gift that we don't deserve, but it's been given. And as you say thank you, I want you to ask one more question. God, what is Your grace desiring to do in my life today? Because friends, your story is not over. God's grace is not finished. Lord, desire to do in my life today? Lord, what does Your grace want to do? You see, because there's a big difference in studying grace and experiencing it. And I want you to experience it. The band's going to come and lead us in worship. in just a moment. And as I've thought about this, it has helped me to, when you realize that you utterly don't deserve something, gratitude. And so I want to celebrate grace today. I knew this was coming, so I'm going to celebrate with pie. So you're invited into my celebration, but I'm going to have a piece of pie here because I came prepared. And not just any pie, but peanut butter pie. I'll give you a piece, Larry. Calm down. You see, I believe that peanut butter pie is one of the greatest desserts. This is grace. Like, this is dessert. Woo! And as you think about this thing, as I look at peanut butter pie, like, it all starts with the crust. You got to have a good crust. Can I get an amen? So, I mean, it takes the right mix of flour and shortening and salt and all the things, and then it takes just the right massaging to bring it all together and roll it out. And then you take it and you form it in that pan and you put them neat little finger crinkles around the edge, right? You know they're there to hold in the good stuff because that's what comes next. Because if you're going to build, you see that, oh, look at that middle section there. Doesn't that look glorious? Oh, man. You need some pudding and some peanut butter and some Cool Whip, and you bring all that together, then you fill it up with the good stuff. Oh, and then it gets mo better, doesn't it? Because then we come in there and put the Cool Whip on top, and you see those little crumbles on top? That's peanut butter and convection sugar. Man. But knowing all of that, man, does not take the place You ever taste something you just gotta move? Woo! Grace is greater, and we're gonna study it, and we're gonna look all around that thing. But friends, do not miss experiencing it. Because there ain't no lecture, no sermon, no nothing that's going to take the place of experiencing grace. Woo! Does anybody like peanut butter pie? I don't know whose hand it was back there, but Miss Rebecca, was your hand up? All right, come on up here. It takes faith to receive grace. Well, it takes faith to respond in grace. So here's a whole pie of grace for you. Now, here are some forks and knives and plates. You can make friends or enemies later. That's completely up to you. But would you have some grace today? Make sure you experience that. That's the beauty of grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. There is some slices of grace on the back. First service, wanted to make sure y'all got to have some grace too. So there's some in the back. Get you a piece of grace. Please don't leave it all for me. I don't want to have to eat it. Don't miss it. You say, well, Pastor, like, okay, I got it, but if it was pie, I would just join you. But how do you experience grace? You just have to lean into it. To sit in a moment in a service like this and go, God, I recognize that you've been at work, or I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't know to pray to you. And so you say, Lord, thank you for the gift of grace. And Lord, I want to respond to your grace today. It's that simple. Lord, I want to surrender because maybe I've been living into my desires, the ways of the world. Lord, I need to lay all that down today and surrender. That's experiencing grace. Maybe today is the time to challenge the voice of the enemy that's saying, you've gone too far, you've messed up too bad, you can't share that, God can't heal you. It's time to T-bone that voice with truth and say, no, God's grace is greater. Friends, that's experiencing grace. It's universal in its appeal, but it is resistible. Don't miss it. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for being honest about our condition. Lord, I don't think we would write this about ourselves. We would try to paint a more rosy picture. But Lord, your word calls us out for what we really are. But Lord, it also portrays the beauty of your grace. Lord, if we get nothing else out of today, we want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. The gift we didn't deserve. Lord, I believe you have more for us today. That we would taste and see that you were good, as the psalmist says. But Lord, that we would move from knowledge about a theological topic to lived experience of your love and kindness. Your grace ever drawing us closer to you. So Lord, as we say thank you, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to what your grace wants to do for us today. How you're inviting us to respond. Lord, to challenge that lie, to challenge the darkness that's in our life, to give it all to you. Lord, we believe today our story's not done because your grace is greater. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.